Parsha Bamidbar, when one overviews the Parsha, one notices the following. The beginning of Perek Aleph, page 334, in the Red Chumashim. Initially, the Torah presents us with a census that is taken of Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was told in Pasuk Beis, this takes place in the Bidbar, Be'echad Achonesh Hasheni, the second year after we left Mitzrayim, Su'u es Rosh Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, v'mishpachosam levei sarosam, v'mispar shemos kol zachor v'gugul osam. Why exactly are we being counted? So Rashi comments over here, mitochi basam lefanav lo ne'osam kol shah. Rashi says, out of love that Hashem has to call Yisrael, we are constantly being counted. When we left Mitzrayim, we were counted. After the ego and the magefa that occurred there, we were counted to know how many were left. When Hashem wants to be mashveh the Shechina on us, we are counted. On the first day of Nisan, the Mishkan was erected. The first day of Iyar, we are counted. So that's what Rashi indicates. But here, if you look a bit more carefully, in the Pesukim, starting with Pasuk Gimel, from what age is the count? So the Torah said, V've'esim shonu v'mala, from the age of 20. And what exactly is the criteria? The answer to the criteria is whether someone is ready for where? For war, to go to be a soldier. Kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael, tipkidu osem l'tzivosem atav v'yarom. And then we have a list of the individuals, the Rashi Hamate, those that are clearly, each one is the leader of his particular Shevet. They're listed here in the next series of Psukim. And then the Torah goes on and then begins to describe the numbers of each Shevet, starting with Pasuk Chaf here at the bottom of the page. And the Torah gives the numbers and it stresses it again and again. And it tells you the total number in Chaf Aleph. 46,500, that's Reuben. Then we have Shimon, we have Gad, we have Yehuda, we have Yisachar, we have Zvulun, Bnei Yosef, Bnei Menashe, Bnei Binyamin, Dan. Now going on to the next page, 336. The Torah then sums it up in Pasuk Mem Dalet. Eile apkudim asher pakad Moshe v'Aaron nasiya Yisrael 12 ish. There were 12 people who were obviously delegated to do this count. And we have also the Sach HaKol. The Sach HaKol, the Torah stresses, v'nesim shonu v'malo, Pasuk Mem Hei, kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael. And the total number is in Mem Vav, shesh mios elu v'shosh z'alofim, 600,000 plus. However, the Torah then in Mem Zayin indicates v'halaviyim amatei avosam lo haspakadu b'socham. Who was not counted? Shevet Levi was not counted. And after that summation, then the Torah has in Pasuk Mem Ches, Hashem tells Moshe, aches matei Levi lo sivko. They should not be counted. B'soch b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk Nun. V'yato hakiris alviyim amishkan ha'idus y'al kol keilo v'al kol ha'shelo heim v'yisrui samishkan v'az kol keilo v'hem yishar v'su v'sadim l'amishkan yachanu. So right away, we are struck, we are puzzled, why is Shevet Levi not to be counted? And certainly not to be counted b'toch b'nei Yisrael. So the Torah tells us pretty clearly in Pasuk Nun and in Aleph what exactly the reason is. Namely, they have a totally different function. What is their function? They are apparently the ones who are responsible for the Mishkan, for the Kleah Mishkan, for the apprentices of the Mishkan. They carry the Mishkan, they carry the Kedah Mishkan. They are the ones who service the Mishkan. And where do they encamp? Around the Mishkan. And if you look at Pasuk Nun Aleph, Mitzvah HaMishkan Yeridu Asa Alviyim, they obviously are responsible to go ahead and dismantle the Mishkan. U'Vachanos HaMishkan, when the Mishkan encamps, Yokimu Asa Alviyim, they once again are responsible to erect the Mishkan. V'Azor HaKorev Yumas. So it's clear that the Leviim have a very special function that the Torah has defined as accentuated over here. In Pasuk Nun Gimel, you see the contrast with Nun Beis. Nun Beis tells us, V'chonu b'nei Yisrael, ishal machaneh, ishal diglo. The rest of Klal Yisrael, they're in camp, each one in their own particular encampment, and each one with a dagel. The Torah speaks about the dagelim a bit later. And then Leviyim, Where are they in camp? They are literally encircling the Mishkan HaEdos. And what is their function? And they prevent any kind of debacle that may occur. Namely, we're talking about the Ketzev that relates, of course, to the Mishkan and the like. The Torah defines their role. Their role is what? Shmiras HaMikdash. To guard the Beis HaMikdash, as the Rambam writes, and the Ramban here has in his Perish Al HaTorah as well, in Adome, Paltin Shel Melech Im Shomrim, the Paltin B'li Shomrim, La'avdil Me'alvavi Abdolos, the Vatican, La'avdil, has also Swiss guards. La'avdil. So here we have the Mishkan with its Shomrim, with its security garrison and the like. Now in Perek Beis, the Torah here now describes the formations. There are, as you know, several shvatim together, and the shvatim are grouped in different kvutzot. And now, pasuk yudzayin, v'nasa oel moed machane alviyim b'socha machanos kashir achanu kein yisoh ish ayodol v'gleyim. Is each machane or the matos together, as the Torah describes them, have the golim. I'm not going to discuss the golim right now. That needs a separate discussion. But what is the Degel? What is it referring to?
Flags.
Each one has their own flag, as it were. And then their groups are shrubbing together. And then you take a look again. The Torah summarizes this. And look at Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel. It's on page 338. Before the end of the second chapter. So it tells you. Again, Sheish Me'osel V'Shosh Shalom V'Chamesh V'Chamishim. And then again, the Torah repeats, "Valabim lo has baktu b'tzoch v'nei yisrael." By the third time, the Torah has said that the Levim somehow are to be differentiated from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And now we have Perek Gimel, and in Perek Gimel, the Torah describes the Tovos Aaron of Moshe, even though only Bnei Aaron are mentioned. Chazal have a famous comment: "Kol Avolami is Ben Chaver Torah, Kili Yolado." Whoever teaches someone else's Chaver, the child of someone else's Chaver. Torah, Ke'ilu, they give birth to that person, the Rebbe literally gives birth to an individual. And then we have the children of Aaron, the Bechor Nodav, Vavi, Elazar, Yisomer, and Pasuk Dal, Vayomas Nodav, Vavi, Lefnei Hashem. Here the Torah once again records what happened that we know about from earlier. Vakim, Mezor, Lefnei Hashem, and Barsina, they didn't have children. Elazar, Yisomer replaced them, and now, Pasuk Ke, Vayidabi, Hashem, Moshe, Limor. Hakwebis, Madei, Levi, Vahamadato, so Lefnei Aaron, Hakoyim, Vishir, Suo, so. Seemingly something that we already heard about. Namely, what's the function of the Levian? We know what their function is. And here the Torah is more specific, maybe regarding their function, namely, that what is their primary focus? The Shareis es Aaron HaKoyin. To serve, to minister to Aaron HaKoyin. And the Torah goes on. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches, V'Shomus Mishmarto, V'Shomus Kuklei Almoed, V'Nasata Salvim, L'Aaron Levanot, they're under his aegis. And they have to basically, we saw earlier, God in the Mikdash. Now they have to go ahead and attend to Aaron HaKoyin, Vazor HaKoyin Yumas. And now in Pasuk Gidala, Vaydav Hashem Moshe Lema, V'ni Elokati Salviyim. This, of course, you're also probably familiar with, that who was exchanged for whom? The Leviim and the Bechorim underwent an exchange. I'm not going to discuss that either. That's another separate parasha needs discussion. And now in Pasuk Gidala Tesvav, here we have Pekodes B'nei Levi. The B'nai Levi should be counted, because they weren't counted with B'nai Yisrael, as we saw a moment ago. They're counted separately. However, here, what are the criteria for their count is? From what age? Pasuk Tezvah, B'ben Chodesh, V'amalo Tifkideh. They're counted from what age? The age of a month. From the time they're a month, that's when they're counted. So clearly the criteria for them is not the same criteria for B'nai Yisrael. Their criteria is what? Those that are clearly, that they've reached the age where they can go ahead and they're involved in combat, the age of 20, Mashen Ken Leviim, clearly have a totally different function. We see that they're totally set apart from the rest of Klal Yisrael. They count them from the age of Ben Chodesh Ramah. Then the Torah indicates to us that the Sheva Levi is divided. We're talking about the different children who have different functions, namely Gershom. You take a look over here in Pasuk Chafei, page 340. Mishmeres b'nei Gershom ve'olmoi, Hamishkan ve'oil, v'tzeil, v'asa peser olmoi, kalei ha'chatzer, etc. Then we have Kohos, the Pasuk of Zayit. What is their function? The Oran, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Oran, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizrach, the HaKodesh, etc. And then we continue. namely Merari, Pasal Amid Bab, Kashi Amishka, the Bicha Babud, Babalam, Kolkele, Chal Abodaso, Amudi Achatzer, and these are the Bukuli Arabiyam that count with Pasal Amid Tes, a summation called Zochem Ben Kodesh Rabbalam. And now in page 341, Perek Gimel Pasuk Mem, who is counted? Called Bechor Zohar Le Yisrael, and Leviim and the Bechor undergo an exchange. Okay, that's a separate parsha, as I told you, very fascinating in and of itself. And now the end of the parsha, Perek Dalid, Kahos. We have Bnei Kahos, again are counted, Biben Shalshim Shana V'mal V'Amechamshim Shana. How long did he... Levian work, from the what age to what age? From the age of 30 to the age of
50.
And Chazal, I think Rashi quotes it as well, but Shoshim Mekach and the like. And then the Torah goes on to more or less describe in great detail the Avoda over there. And now I'm coming to the end of the Pasha. I'm reading the Maftir now. Starting on page 343, I just want to give you an overview so you can see what's happening over here. And that'll be the introduction to what I'm about to talk about. First, one obvious distinction between the Levium and the rest of Klal Yisrael in terms of the chronology. The age of Levium from a month old and the age of Klal Yisrael from the age of 20, they're two totally different functions. Svei dinim. It's clear that there are a dialectic over here. What is the primary function of, shall we say, the Levium? Their function is primarily in the spiritual arena, if you will. I once heard in the 60s, Agoyin, Marenu Rabbeinu, Avraham Soloveitchik Zatzal. He spoke about the role of women. What exactly is the role of women? I believe you can find a bit of this in his collection of essays, Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. You are undoubtedly familiar, Yitzhak, with that sefer. And if not, you should become familiar with it today. It has a collection of very beautiful essays, really a very, very small selection of Rabban Soloveitchik, who was a giant, the younger brother of Rabban Soloveitchik. And he spoke about the role of women in the 60s, and I really happened to be present at those shiurim. And he compared it to the role of Shevet Levi. Women, their function is that of Shevet Levi, just like Shevet Levi is counted from a month and on, because they're not functioning in what role? As combat soldiers. Klal Yisrael are functioning as combat soldiers, so you need valor, you need physical. Obviously, you have to achieve a certain physical prowess, and that only comes to the age of 20. Mashenki and Shevet Levi, their function is primarily to introduce spirituality in Klal Yisrael, and they therefore are involved with Kedusha and the like. And he said that's the function of women. Men, the Gemara says, Dakar Shalish Lichbosh, Ven Dakar Shalish Lichbosh. The reason why a man is a believer is a mitzvah pruvu, the Gemara Yavamis, because a man has a mandate. The mandate is Vikivshua. Shati Osi Bishuva Shalola. You haven't been on my case in a long time. Anyway, Shati Osi Bishuva Shalola. That's just an editorial comment. That a man is involved in kibush. What's kibush meaning? The process of what?
Conquest.
That's why we showed him right that men are mechuyev in all mitzvahs and women are part of mitzvahs, say shatvan groma, they are withdrawn. Right? The reason is because a man essentially needs mitzvahs in order to control what? His aggressive propensities. His aggressive nature. Women don't have that kind of aggressive nature. They don't need all the mitzvahs. They don't need mitzvahs, say shatvan groma. Then we showed him right that. But he compared the function of women to that of Levium. Just as Levium are counted from a month on, so women also have a similar kind of function, more in the spiritual realm, namely, the ethos of a house is created by a woman. There's a very beautiful hesped, Rav Soloveitchik, the older brother of Avraham Soloveitchik, Moreinu Rabbeinu, Hagoyin, Moron, Yesudev, Halevi Soloveitchik, Zatzal. So he said a hesped for his mechutenet, for the Talmud Rebetzin, no doubt you read it, if you happen to speak to your grandfather, Shlita. Anyway, and so that hesped, Rav Soloveitchik, describes what exactly he acquired from his mother and what he acquired from his father. You know the hesped I'm talking about.
He'd say he'd be emotionless with that as well.
What was that?
He'd be emotionless with that.
That is essentially a correct statement that you just pointed out. Namely that the halachas of Shabbos were taught to him by his father. But the, shall we say, the ruach of Shabbos, the kedusha of Shabbos, the spirit of Shabbos, all came from his mother. I once heard Avraham Soloveitchik, when his mother was Nifta, the mother of the two golden brothers, said, though, Rabban Salvechik, so the Rav was not masked by his mother at the Lubayim. Rabban Salvechik was masked by his mother in the mid-60s. I am to be there. So Rabban Salvechik was masked by his mother. He said, who is his Rebbe? He learned about, he was eight, I think about 18 years younger than his brother. His Rebbe was his brother and his father, of course, Amir Salavetchik Zatzal. But also he learned by his brother. He said his main Rebbe was his mother. And then he started listing what his mother taught him. Chumash, Tanakh, Malbim, Rabban. He started listing about Salavetchik, what his mother taught him. Mishenim, Achreinim. It was mind-boggling. But primarily, he said something similar to what the Rav said about his lieutenant, the Talmud Rebbetzin, Tversky. The mother is the one who introduces into the home, basically, Kedusha. The Gemara says, based on Zulishta, the person's house is his wife. And there's no question that women have a certain inner ruchnius, inner pnimius, that they introduce into a person's home, which is why you have to marry the right wife. And if you do so, then, Baruch Hashem, your situation will be L'shem u'Tiferes. And if Chas v'Shalom, you don't marry the right wife, you can figure it out. So here, Rabban Salavetchik in the 60s, he was drawing an analogy. He spoke on Parshas Bamidbar. That's what I remember from some over 50 years ago. And there he has in a collection of essays a precis of that idea, which I'm sure you will read. Okay, the end of the parsha. Now we are beginning. All this is Loev Hakdama. Now we can appreciate what I'm about to say. I hope. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron le'emar v'les v'psukim al tachrisu eshevim mishpachos hakohasi mitoch halaviyim. Translate. Don't cut off the shevet, which of course is with shevet, kahos mitoch halaviyim. What in heaven's name is the nature of this mandate? Don't cut them off. What, is there a habamina that we should go ahead and chas v'shalom, cut off some Jew? And not only that, guess whose family Moshe and Aaron come from? Kos! Are you aware of that? Look in Shmos, Perek Vav. Perek Vav. On page 140 in Shmos. Uvnei Kohos, I'm sorry, 139. The previous pasuk, this text. Uvnei Kohos, Amram v'Yitzchak Avin v'Uziel, v'Shnei Chayi Kohos, Shloshu Shloshu Me'ash Shana. Correct. So we're talking about their own family. Uvnei Kohos, is there a habamina that it will be machris their own family? What in heaven's name is the Torah telling us over here? Al tachrisu Hashem mishpachos hakohasim mitoch halaviyim. Let's just read the other two pasukim. V'zos asu lehem v'chayu lo yamusu. The Gishtam is Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Torah says when they approach the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Aaron and one of Yabohu, Aaron and his children should come, because B'nai Kos, what was their function? I don't know if you caught it in the last few minutes. What did they do? What was their main function? What did they have to carry? They carried the Klei HaKodesh. They carried the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbech, is correct, on the other Klei HaKodesh. And we know very well, Chazal tells us that that was quite a heavy burden. I mean that Tarte Mashma. Heavy both in terms of the physical, shall we say, nature of the labor that they had to do, and also heavy in terms of what? In terms of the responsibility that they were shouldering. So it says, who is in charge, who oversees them? Aaron Ubana. And then the last pasuk is the famous pasuk. It's also the Gemara Sanhedrin, which you are familiar with, the Mishnah. Must be obviously comprehensible, unless you learn Sanhedrin, which you undoubtedly have done this year. Rashi explains what the pasuk is. It's not my mandate right now. I'm simply noting that Chazal and the Medrash point out that the schar for carrying the Aron HaKodesh and the schar for, of all these kelim, which one was the most significant of all the kelim? Rabban writes in Chumash, the beginning of Parshas Truma, of all the kelim that I mentioned, the ones that they carried, namely the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbechos, which one is number one? The Aron HaKodesh. So the Medrash describes how, guess what? Each one wanted to carry the Aron HaKodesh. And as a result, the Rebbe says, "Beginning of Amidah Rabbah, that they began to somehow engage in, even, how shall we describe it? There were skirmishes. Shekayach. Just joking. There were skirmishes. Why must it go off every few minutes?
Powers.
What was that?
Saving power.
Saving power. Conservation of energy. Wow.
Save power, save money.
There's Shekayach to all of you. So because they were involved in these skirmishes, who's going to carry their HaKadosh? So Chazal say that this is the reason why Shevi Levi was the smallest of all the tribes. They got involved in skirmishes. Who's going to carry their own Kodesh? As a result, they were no Kalos Rosh. How do you translate Kalos Rosh?
Light
headedness, thank you. Levity, thank you. And the Shechina was Pogas by them, by you Mason. They died as a result of that. And therefore, Shevi Levi is the smallest of all the Shvatim. So, in effect, so how did Hashem, shall we say, solve the problem? But he tell Aaron HaKohen in Pasuk Yitzes, page 343. Aaron of one of Yavon with some awesome ish ish alavadasa v'amaso. Namely, who's going to make, shall we say, seder over here? Who's going to organize them? And I'm assuming to go away, Aaron and Bonav, in order that Chas V'Shalom, nothing should happen of this nature. Who spoke to me earlier? Yes, my Rebbe, Ehud. So when he spoke to me earlier, that's why I'm speaking about this topic tonight. You're the one who gave me the topic. Namely,
humble.
The question is, how could this happen to B'nai Kos? We're talking about adults, mature people, Shevet Levi, and if they see that, shall we say, all them jumping after the Aron Kodesh is causing Rachmanu Litzlan death, as Chazal described, why would they do it? Well, are they little children? They need supervisors? They need Aron Ubana to go ahead and oversee their situation? So Ehud, Shlita, told me the following. Talking about Miron. Do you know what I'm referring to? I told you, you should go to Miron the whole year, except for Lakhlova. I'm not allowed to say that. Am I allowed to say that? Thank you. Why do I say that? So when I went to Miron in 1971, unlike Bomer, so there weren't a half a million people there, certainly not, several thousand maybe. Even though there were no roads going there, because at that time they had not built and paved roads going to Miron. But what I saw in the following was actually passable, and one could get there with difficulty, but one got there, and then they were busy shechting cows right there. Shechting cows, right by the Tzion, by the Kever of Rashbi. And the only thing I forgot was my fireman's boots, because I was wading in blood. So it was not, shall we take, from my sartorial style, it wasn't the ideal situation. But other than that, the situation that is being described today, which I'm quite aware of, because unfortunately I go to Levayis once in a while in Dali Yisrael, and what I'm talking about is that there are a lot of people who come to these Levayis, and a lot of people come to Meron, and there's a fair amount of what they call in simple Chinese, tzifut, congestion. Congestion is not the right word. How would you describe it?
Pandemonium.
I'm not referring to that. That for sure there is. But I'm talking about the congestion. What other word could I use to describe that?
Cramped.
Correct. The call yourself are literally on top of each other. Mousetrap is it. So I'll tell you what my hold on the matter is. Obviously, I want to be Malamed Tzlus on call yourself. That's my interest. And my interest is entering this kasha over here that the Medrash, I'm asking, what, you need Aaron and his brother, Lashkiach, to be Mashkiachet, like little children, that they should not, Chas V'Shalom, behave in such a fashion which is a sakona? The answer is, just as. Metal is attracted to a magnet. Why? That's the nature of metal. Without getting into the, shall we say, scientific discussion a bit, which I, in my course in physics, more than one, we discussed at great length. So too B'nai Kohos. B'nai Kohos were nimshach el HaKodesh. They were drawn to Kedusha. I know what's going on over there today. It's having seemed to be, so maybe it's color war. In Bahamas, I'm in color war. It's all right, it's all right. Good. I'm sorry. That's good. B'nai Kahas, apparently, they cannot control themselves. They were so nimshach al HaKodesh, they could control themselves. There was a need to appoint supervisors, namely Aaron Rabbanov, in order to oversee what was happening. Similarly, I'm going to show you a number of examples of this phenomena that we see in Tanakh. I'm just going to go through the Torah, a number of places. Let's turn for a moment to Shmos, Parshas Yisro, Perek Yates in Shmos. So here we find that before Maimon HaSinai, 3 days before, what does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? We've spoken about this before, Perek Yates, Pasuk Yudbeis. And what I'm telling you, I heard from my Rabbeinu. The Yisod, I heard from my Rabbeinu. And luckily I heard from them. I was able to, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, to understand a lot of the phenomena that's taking place. Now, you agree with me. You'll see in a moment what I'm talking about. Perek Yates, Pasuk Yudbeis. The Baltas, Am, Sabbath, Lemor. What does Hashem tell them? That the area should be divided into three. Then one of the three, Machanos, Machane Shina, Machane Leviah, Machane Yisrael. You know what I'm talking about? Pasuk Yudbeis. The Baltas, Am, Sabbath, Lemor. What do they have to do? Set up lines of demarcation. After that, Moshe Rabbeinu himself tells the people, and what does he say? He tells Hashem in Pasuk of Gimel. Hashem tells him again, go and demarcate the area. They can't ascend because you already told him. What does Hashem tell him? Lech rei, go down again and tell him a second time. Rashi quotes here on the spot. You have to tell him before, you got to tell him during, because there's always a chash. What's the chash? Pasuk Havala. The chash is Pen Yesul Hashem Liros, Benafal Mimenu Rob. What does that mean? God forbid that they might do what? Might become congested. Yesul Hashem, they're all somehow trying to move to Har Sinai. And God forbid, what can happen? Benafal Mimenu Rob. That many, many people have to show them can be trampled underfoot, or can be asphyxiate, for lack of air, and the like. Now, it's interesting. This only applies to the Klal Yisrael. Why does it apply to Musa Olam? The answer is Chazal say, the Gemara Baba Kama, Rashi actually quotes it in Dvarim. You probably remember it from that Rashi. Look at the end of Dvarim, Perek Lamed Gimel, and Mezal Sabracha. We know that Hashem offered the Torah to whom? Beginning of Sasa Bracha, page 516. Second pasuk. Vayomar, Hashem b'sinai bo, b'zorach b'sei olomo, hofia me'ar paron, yosef b'vos kodesh. So Rashi comments over here, that Hashem offered the Torah to whom? To whom also, to the nations of the world. What was their reaction? Yet. N-Y-E-T. What does that mean? No. They refused to accept the Torah. Because they asked, the Gemara says, what's written there? Hashem says, lo tigno. That's not for me. My whole life is based on thievery and skullduggery. That's all I do. That's my panasa. We're quite familiar with that, those who live in the Middle East. Lo sirtzach. What are you, crazy? My mitzvah is jihad. That's what I do. And probably, if I can decapitate people, I do that too. So they said, we can't accept all these chumras. Sirtzach. Signor. Adultery? Gilarais? That's my expertise! So therefore, there's no need to go and delimit, demarcate Har Sinai for the Umos HaOlam. They don't need any demarcations. They don't need any limitations. However, Klal Yisrael has such a strong Meshicha to Kedusha that there's a need when there might be God forbid Sakhar to Foshas, we have to warn them again and again. Lo the Hiskari of HaKodesh. You hear what I'm saying? You may find this a little difficult, but what you said earlier to me today resonated. And by the way, I decided I have to address the issue. This is a Radbaz, one of the great Radbaz, who wrote a parish on the Rambam, the Tshuva's Radbaz. He has a Tshuva of the many. whether we're allowed today to go up to Har HaBayis. You're familiar with the issue? I imagine you've come across it. And of course, it's Machlokes. Nothing is without Machlokes. Whenever somebody asks me, what's the minhag? My answer is, Machlokes. That's the minhag. It's out of Machlokes. Hopefully the Sheikh Shamayim. The advice writes in the tshuva that he discusses, are you allowed to go up to Har HaBayis today, or is it Asr? He says, even if it's Asr, there are still Jews who are going to go up to Har HaBayis. Why? Because Klal Yisrael mitivam, by nature, what are we nimshach to? The Kedusha. Astounding statement. Yaakov Avinu, let's turn back to him for a second. Parshas told us, that was familiar, correct? What happens in Parshas told us, a very famous Parsha, where essentially Yaakov tells Esav to sell him what? Sell him the Bechorah, sell him the birthright. What exactly did the birthright consist of? Esav, Rashi quotes this actually in Perek Chafei, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayom Esav, page 59. Hinei Anochi Olech Lamos V'Lamos Ali Bechara. Esav, by the way, was a hunter by profession, which is a pretty dangerous profession. That is Levi Yehuda, quotes the famous Rashbam. Rashbam here, in this Psukim, Rashbam speaks about the fact that those who are in the actuary, anyone here interested in the actuarial profession, have to be a great profession. I have two chaveim who live with us as well, and both are actuaries, and basically they have earned themselves, they are quite wealthy, that's the understatement of the year. Both are very wealthy, and both of them learn half a day, and do actuarial work. One works for an international firm, one works for a consortium of firms. You know what actuaries do?
Predict
when
people are
going to
die.
More or less, that's not exactly. I like how you put it. They basically they study different aspects of the human being. Of course, the idea is in order to be able, for what reason, what
insurance
purpose?
Companies.
What's that?
Insurance companies.
Come back. They work for insurance companies, and they're quite good. They know the malacha. They studied it. It's really, it's a study. It's not just with miracles. Rosh Hashanah, chokhmah hi v'en malacha. It's not just the malacha. It's a chokhmah. You have to be, these two are very bright chaps. Both of them actually learned Rav Soloveitchik as well. And one is a tremendous Talmid Chacham, an unbelievable Talmid Chacham. The other one is an outstanding Talmid Chacham. So they're both great Talmid Chacham. They learn half a day. That's what they do. And then they do actuarial work for which they make a fortune of money. A fortune. It's amazing. And you know how much per hour an actuary can make? I flipped out. Question flipped out. I'm sorry?
$1 million.
No, you don't make $1 million an hour. But you can make, literally, if you're very good, $200 an hour. I believe it's about 700 shekel. I don't know what it is. What is it?
78.
Okay, we can make a very beautiful living. And okay, I'm back here. What is the nature of the avoda? Says Rashi over here, Perek Chavei, Pasuk Lamed Beis. What am I going to lose? Esau said to Yaakov. So you know what Yaakov said? Rashi quotes it. Kama Azoros Ve'onchi Nebisa Sliba. It's a very complicated matter. Namely, the Mishnah writes in Sanhedrin. If you enter the Beis Hamikdash Shtuya Yayin Kurei Rosh Shechai Misa, Esau says, what do I need this for? This, any actuary would tell me, dangerous territory. Do not enter this arena. I don't want to be Chai Misa Chaz Hashon. I'd rather be Mavate on the Bechora. Yeah, you take the Bechora, correct? And you, shall we say, enter this area, it's not for me, and the like. So what is Yaakov wanting for? So Chazal Ramban actually refers to it over here, that Yaakov knows that it's Mesukan, but Yaakov realized that the Bechora is also involved with the high level of Kedusha. You know, Soloveitchik is a very fascinating article. I saw it actually in the Sefer Darash Jesek. So there in Pasha's, very nice, the fellow there wrote a beautiful article. But the Rav actually compared two different types of Bechora. What is Bechora actually in the secular world? That's all that he said. You know what Bechora means? If you are the oldest child, so you know what you are? The bully of the family. Might makes right. And you basically, shall we say, all the younger siblings, you simply, they are your slaves, your chattel, your possession. And you, shall we say, not just bully them, but if necessary, what else do you do? You pulverize them. Whatever you have to do in order that they should, shall we say, be your underlings and carry out your directives and your mandate. That's what the Bechor is in the secular world. Did you think it's not like that? Trust me, it's exactly like that. What is the Bechor with reference to Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael? Bechor is a responsibility, it's an achrayis. Why does the Bechor get Bichnayim? Because he has to literally be a model for all of his rest of his family. I assume some of you are Bechorim or Bechoros. So if you're a Bechor, you have to learn Maseches Bechoros. That's number one. For sure, you have a portion. But if you are a Bechor, you have an achrayis, a responsibility. Because what you're going to do will have a massive impact on your siblings. Anyway, it's a very beautiful article there. You'll take a look at it. On the pasuk at the beginning of Shmos, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, Rav Soloveitchik compares Tzvei Dinim and Bechor. Tzvei Dinim, everything's Tzvei Dinim. A dialectic, two different types of Bechor. One is based on physicality, physical prowess, and the other is based on more Kedusha. That's why, by the way, Bechor and Levian, in this week's Pasha, Uchlefu, that's why they're exchanged, because Levian have a dimension of Kedusha that the rest of Klal Yisrael doesn't have, and Bechor also has a dimension of Kedusha. You hear what I'm saying? Anyway, back over here. I'll give you another example. This example also I heard from Rabbeinu. Look at the beginning of Shmos. When I could involve a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm only telling this to you for one reason. That's the Gemara Brachas. Otherwise, I wouldn't even bother. In the beginning of Brachas, I believe the Gemara Zayin, you probably know it better than I do. I'm not holding my Brachas. But here at the beginning of Shmos, what happens? Do you remember the snare? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do in the context of the snare? Paragimel? Pasuk Bo. Yes, that is a correct statement. Where else do you find the Tanakh? Someone taking off their shoes? Excellent. What's the difference between the two, between Yoshua and Shmos, since you're asking the question, or since you're mentioning it already? What's the difference? Is there any difference between the two scenarios? You'll tell me. What was that? No, you'll take a look, and by supper time, you'll tell me the answer. Give you a few minutes, because usually when I tell people by tomorrow, they don't tell me. They just forget about me and ignore me. So I'll give you until supper time. Maybe after supper. I'll see you tonight. Yes, I'll go pursue you. Look at this pasuk, Paragimel, pasuk Bo. What happened, Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem tells him, "Shalom alechem aravatecha," because you're tzavak and kodesh. Take off your shoes. You know that in Beis Hamikdash, you don't obviously wear shoes. That's a gemara wear. Also down in Megillah, two famous gemaras in this yeshiva. So then the brother of Megillah says, "You don't keep your shoes on when you go to the Bakam Hamikdash." And now look at the next pasuk. Bo, Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avicham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So there are 2 days in the Gemara. Did Moshe act properly when he hid his face from Hashem Yisbarach, or did he not act properly? One man, the Yomar, says he acted properly. He received the schar. What's the schar that Moshe Rabbeinu received? The Gemara says, correct. His face was with a sheen, with a shine, with a glimmer. That's the pasuk in Kisisa, namely, Vayaste Moshe Ponim Zochah the Klaster Ponim. The Gemara Brachas, Gemara Nafzai. Kikaran or Panav. Correct? And according to the second opinion of the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu did not act properly. He was punished. How did you know he was punished? When Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem in Kisisa, Haredi Naz Kodecha, Moshe had 2 requests. And so the Rambam and the Ramban, and many of you should have learned over there, what were the 2 requests of Moshe Rabbeinu? One was to know the essence of Hashem. Essence, not tea essence. Mr. Brewer says on Shabbos, what do you do? You should make sense. Essence. Sense. It's a bad thing. But anyway, whatever you do, you should make sense out of what you do. Anyway, it's not saying you make tea on Shabbos with Mr. Brewer, but keep you awake. And so the second day the Gemara said Moshe Rabbeinu did not act properly when he hid his face. He was punished. How was he punished? When he asked Hashem, there were 2 requests. One was to know the essence of Hashem. The other was, show me your attributes. Hashem responded affirmative to attributes, namely, you give me the Shabbachamim. I went to the other, Hashem said, no, you can't know my essence, that's not possible. And therefore, he said, Hashem said, what does the Gemara say? Brothers, what I wanted, you didn't want. And now that I want, you don't want. So Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the second opinion, was what? Was, in effect, punished. So there are 2 opinions, whether Moshe Rabbeinu acted properly or did not act properly. Those, the Chazal seemed to have a machlokes, whether Moshe Rabbeinu, in the context of the snare, when he hit his face, was he acting properly? He was not acting properly. In general, you're probably familiar with Rav Dessler Zatzal. Rav Dessler writes in Chelek Gimel, a bit of the old, that there's no machlokes. By Inyoni Agodo. There's no machlokes. If you find a machlokes, it's not a machlokes. It means both stodim are correct. Dialectic. Tzvei dinim. However, that they tell us about different aspects. Namely, there's no machlokes. What are the 2 different aspects that are being described here? One is Yira, and one is Ava. You're familiar with Yira Ava? We've talked about it before. The Rambam Yisrael Yatera, you're familiar with that. Namely, Moshe Rabbeinu, from the standpoint of Yira, he acted correctly when he hit himself. He was mekabel schar because you don't have the chutzpah to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a sense of distance that one should have. In Hebrew, they call it here distance. They think that's a Hebrew word. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that he wanted to come close to Hashem is Barach, that's the bechina of what? Of Abba. And that's the pasuk in Shir Hashir. We have Shir Hashir for a second. Those who say it every Friday night. Who says here Shir Hashir every Friday night? Anybody in this room? Svardin, thank you. I'm asking if anyone in this room says Shir Hashir every Friday night. Walter? What did you say?
Nisht.
Okay. So looking by Yetta by Yikra, right at the beginning of Shir Hashir, pasuk Dalit. What does it say? Mashreini acharecha merutza. What is the... Here it's what's called the raya. The raya refers to Klal Yisrael. What do they ask from the uncle, like the Baruch Hu? What does this mean? There's a problem with this pasuk. What's the problem? If the Knesset Yisrael has the ability to run after Hashem, why does it say Mashreini? What does Mashreini mean? Pull me! Draw me! Why Mashreini? Why can't she run herself? The answer is because there's a fear, there's a fright. She's afraid to approach Hashem Yisbarach. She wants Hashem Yisbarach to do what? He should draw us in. On the other hand, it says also, Achavecha Narutza. What does Achavecha Narutza mean? That we should run after Hashem Yisbarach in order to what? In order to come close to Hashem. That comes from what? Bechina, the Bechina of Abba. Here there's a tensile balance between Yira and Ava, which, by the way, is essentially the entire life of a Jew has this tensile kind of balance between Yira and Ava. The Rambam describes it in the Sadi Atari. Remember the Rambam? The Rambam says when a person examines the universe and sees its majesty and its beauty, you go to the Grand Canyon, right away you're filled with a tremendous sense of Ava, of love of Hashem Yisbarach. But the second later you realize they're standing in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. And so therefore what happens? You recoil. Because what comes into play? Yira. There's a constant tension between Yira and Abba that a person should have. But my whole point in this entire discussion was simply to show you that Klal Yisrael has a very strong desire to come close to Kedusha. Avraham Avinu, you recall the beginning of Lech Lecha, undoubtedly the Ramban discusses it at the beginning of Lech Lecha. Hashem tells Avraham Avinu to do what? To go to where? Look at Lech Lecha, page 26. Kevin, in Lech Lecha, gracious. Hashem tells Avraham Avinu to go where? He tells him to go to Eretz Yisrael. Lech Lecha me'aretz lo, me'aretz lo, me'saviv al Eretz Asher Ereka, page 26. The problem is, does Hashem tell him where exactly Eretz Yisrael is?
No.
How in heaven's name is he supposed to know where to go? So there's a lot of midrashim over here that have a fascinating discussion on this topic. But notice Avraham Avinu, what he does. He's now traversing, going to different countries. There's a medrash, a beautiful medrash, that says that Avraham Avinu came to different parts of the world, if you will, and he saw that everything was a kind of chaos. He said, this can't be Eretz Yisrael. And he came to a land where there were Zriya, B'Shah Zriya, and Chavisha, B'Shah Chavisha. Everything was in an orderly fashion. Oh, this must be Eretz Yisrael. I have what to say about that medrash, but not now, another occasion. And so he said, let me have a share of that. But the Rabban has the following. The Rabban says, what was he drawn to? And the Rabban reads the Psukim over here. I don't have time to read all the Psukim. But the Psukim in the beginning of Lech Lecha, Rabban says, Avraham Avinu was drawn to Yerushalayim HaKadosh. He was drawn to Yerushalayim. What drew him to Yerushalayim HaKadosh? The answer is, a Jew, his inner soul, in effect, wants to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to be drawn to Kedusha. Why is there such a meshicha when people learn Torah and people become involved in the study of Torah as you, Baruch Hashem, have become in the course of the year? The answer is because we're drawn to Kedusha. Torah is Kedusha, and we are drawn to Kedusha. I once heard, you know the issue, Yaakov Avinu, if you remember when Yaakov Avinu, this is in Bereishis, where is that? In Perek Lamed Beis of Bereishis, so there's a famous discussion. Yaakov, when he's coming back to Torah Eretz Yisrael, he takes his wives and his 11 children and he crosses the Mavar Yabok. He's a ferryman. And Chazal said, where was Dina? He put her in the table and locked it in order that who should not see her? Esau. That's right. So, what's the problem? What did Chazal say? There was a punishment given to Yaakov Avinu that he prevented Esav from marrying whom? From marrying Dina, and maybe she would have what? Brought him back to Tshuva. So Rashi says. Rashi says here, Nenash Yaakov, and guess what happened? Chas v'sholom, Rachmana l'tzlan, she fell in the hands of whom? Of Shechem Nechamor. He was obviously worse than Esav. Much worse than Esav. So the Sabbath Mislabotka, you may have heard of Slabotka. You did, you went to Poland. So who was the Sabbath of Slabotka? Rabbi Yossi Finkel. Correct. He asked the following question. What do we want from Yaakov Avinu? What, I'm supposed to give my daughter to that Shegetz? How do you translate Shegetz? You get the general gist. Why? Because maybe she'll be Makaravan and I'll do Tshuva. So I pick a Rasha Marusha, the Gemara in Kedushin calls him a Meshuman, and I go and marry up my daughter to him so she should be Makaravan. You hear the Kasha? I think the Gemara says, I'm not mistaken, you should marry off your daughter to a Tam Chachm to a Tzadik. No, did the Gemara not say that? But I know. Thank you. It's exactly the Gemara. So he answers the Sabbim Slabotka, the following tales, I'm not sincere. Einachanam. Before all, Yaakov did the right thing. He should have locked Dina up in the favor as he did, not give her to Esau. However, Chazal did not have in mind that he should marry her off to Esau, Chas v'Shalom, but rather, he should have had such a strong rutzon to be misakin Esav, to improve the character of Esav and to try to somehow redirect him, reorient him, put him on the right path. He shouldn't have said to Sabbath Slabotka, Abbas and Zikdinko, he shouldn't have closed the door of the table so tight. That's what he says. Heard from my rabbi. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medakti him at tzadik b'chut ha-sayra, Yaakov was punished. He didn't have enough of a ratzon to bring Esav back to Tshuva and to bring him back to Kedusha, to bring him back to the, shall we say, where he should have been.
How is Dina punished?
I don't know. Your questions are far better than the answers I have to offer. So the yisod of the whole parsha, and I'm going back to the beginning, the question that I asked, why would the Torah issue such a directive? Don't cut off! The answer is because for us, it's involved with Kedusha, the highest level of Kedusha, Yaron HaKodesh, the Klal Mishkan. So the Torah has to tell, in effect, tell us, the beginning of Moshe and Aaron have to be told, when it comes to Kedusha, one has to be very, very careful. Tread carefully. Because Kedusha is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, with Kedusha, one can come to unbelievable heights. A person to leave in our Torah can come to the highest levels of Kedusha and Dveikus in Hashem Yisbarach. On the other hand, there's also a danger, Rachmana Litzlan, that fire can burn. It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, since you write Pirkei Avos. Neshichasan, Neshichashuva. Lechitzasan, Lechitzasakra. V'chol divrayim kigach l'yesh. The words of Torah are like fire, are like coals. So on the one hand, one should aspire to Kedusha, and one should try to come close to Hashem Yisbarach. That's what we are doing. That's the function of Yeshiva, to bring us close to Hashem Yisbarach, to bring us closer and closer to the Torah, and the Torah and Hashem Yisbarach are one and the same. Yisrael kutcha b'richa v'aisa chadu. It's all one. A tripartite segment that's really one. You know, they say, they means they. We also have three that's one and one that's three. Namely, Yisrael, Kutcha Bricha, V'Aisa. It's all one. So we have to try to be Miskari to Kedusha. We also recognize the potential Sakana that's involved in Kedusha and try our best that we should not be Chas V'Shalom Nisra, burned from the Sakana, on the contrary, just take the Kedusha and go harder and harder.